Not to give you your typical, you know, baby in a manger, Jesus came, he was a baby, and that was it, type of sermon, all right? So what I need from you is I need you to be engaged. Given that we're nice and intimate this morning, I may ask a question, and I actually want you to respond. Before we do that, let's pray. Heavenly Father God, thank you so much for the opportunity you give us to worship you. God, many times we can take for granted the closeness that you desire to have with us. God, sometimes we can take for granted the relationship you want us to have with you, God. And so I just pray that today, whether someone is further along in their relationship with you than someone else, God, I pray that all of us can get something from the word you will have me to speak. God, I pray that what you want me to say, I will say. What you don't want me to say, I will not say. And that we will leave here ready to take on the world and overcome everything because you have allowed us to be victorious. God, we love you and praise things in your son Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So tomorrow's a very special day. What's tomorrow? What's tomorrow? Tomorrow is Christmas. I know we don't like the open-ended questions, but tomorrow is Christmas. All right, so what's tomorrow? I need everybody. What is tomorrow? Christmas. Thank you. Tomorrow is Christmas, and it's the day that we tend to celebrate the birth of Jesus. It's the time that the world comes and says, you know what? We might actually pay some attention to this Jesus guy. So this is an opportunity for us to meet people where they are. It's a time of sharing. It's a time when we get an opportunity to spend time with family and friends, get to eat some good food. We get to have that cornbread and dressing and chicken and turkey and all the other stuff that we might cook. But for many Americans, it's also the time where we look forward to gifts. We look forward to getting gifts. We look forward to giving gifts. And we just look forward to the opportunity to see the joy on people's faces when the box gets put right in front of them or that bow on the new car is right outside. Who getting a new car for Christmas? Nobody? Oh, you getting a new car? Okay. But what are some of the things we're looking forward to for Christmas? What kind of gifts did we ask for? Y'all can be honest. I won't judge you or anything for not being spiritual. What's some gifts we asked for Christmas? Socks. Some shoes. Money. Games. What else? Family. Okay. And toys. Who said and toys? Some of you are going to get your toys, huh? But you see, we all enjoy gifts. We enjoy having gifts. We enjoy seeing people get gifts because it's in our nature. Because we're image bearers of God. God is one who desires to give good gifts. All throughout the Bible, we see that God lavishes his children with gifts. He says that Jesus himself in Matthew said that, you know, if you as a human can give good gifts, then why can't the Father in heaven give perfect gifts? In James, it says, every good and perfect gift comes from above. And so when we think about gifts, we have to think about the reality that we're just simply mimicking the best gift giver, the God of the Bible. But today we're going to take a visit. I know I mentioned we weren't going to talk completely about baby Jesus, but we are going to take some time to look into the story of the birth of Jesus. And so let's open up our Bibles to Luke chapter 2 as we talk about the ultimate gift. Luke chapter 2, the ultimate gift. If you're there, say, got it. If you're still turning, say, hold up. All right, I'll hold on. And we're also going to have it up here on the screen. Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 1. It says, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see that this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. In verse 20, it says, "The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told." And so here we are in Luke chapter 2, and a few months earlier, an angel of the Lord had appeared to Mary, and he told Mary, "You're going to be with child. You're going to be the one that's going to carry the Savior of the world." Now, if that wasn't enough of a bomb to drop, then she found out, you know what? I'm a virgin, and how is this going to happen? An angel told her, "You know what? The Holy Spirit is going to impregnate you." So then Joseph has to go through the shame and everything else, the heartache that goes with trying to figure out, like, how do I hide my pregnant virgin, not yet my wife? Like, how do I hide that? And so here we are in Luke 2, a few months later, and it's time for the baby to be born. And so they gave birth to Jesus, and it's a story most of us are probably familiar with, where the baby was born in a manger, and angels came and gave some shepherds the birth announcement. So many times we come here at this point of the year, Christmas, and we talk about this particular activity, the nativity scene. And we focus on the birth of baby Jesus, but I pray as we go through the scriptures today, as we talk about what this means, that it won't just be the baby Jesus that we stay at. I pray that hopefully we'll see that the birth of Jesus was just a necessary checkpoint for us to get to the real gift of God. Amen? See, the beautiful thing about gifts is that there's this anticipation. There's this buildup. There's this time where we're ready to open up what is coming, what we think is going to be right in front of us. We're just excited about what that's going to mean, what that's going to look like, what kind of gifts we're going to receive. And so it wasn't any different for the Jewish people that the angels came to speak to. These shepherds, they had heard the prophecies. They already knew that there was something coming, but they didn't know when, they didn't know how, but there was this excitement, this buildup, this anticipation. You know, nobody gets excited about the wrapping paper, right? Like, who sits here and like, "Man, I hope I get a nice package with beautiful wrapping paper on it," other than like a couple women over to my right. But really, it's the anticipation of what's inside that people get excited about. And that's really what the birth of Jesus was. The birth of Jesus wasn't the end-all, be-all. It was the beginning. It was the anticipation, because for hundreds of years, the Jews had been told there will be a Savior. There will be a Messiah. There will be someone that is going to come and save the world. And so my first point today is the gift revealed. See, Jesus in the manger was just the beginning of the gift revealed. You see, it was the pit stop. It wasn't the time we were going to come to and say, "Here it is, we're done now." But it was the time we're saying, now we're moving forward in the revelation of God's entire plan, his redemptive history. So why did God choose to reveal the birth to some shepherds? Like, out of all the people that could have gotten this angelic birth announcement, he decided to go to shepherds. These men were lowly men. They had a job nobody really wanted, staying out watching a whole bunch of stink, dumb sheep. Like, nobody wanted that job. But somehow, God said, you know what? I'm going to use these men. Who knows? I don't know why. But what we do know, as we see here, starting in verse 10 and going down, these men were excited. There was a certain excitement and zeal and happiness they had to finally see the fulfillment of prophecy right in front of them. See, so we start wondering, like, what is this gift? If the gift isn't the baby, if the gift isn't the actual birth right here of Jesus, then what is this gift? And I think the answer is found right here in verse 10 when the angel said, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. The gift is the good news. The good news of the gospel. The good news of the gospel is this: eternal life. Like, there is an opportunity to have eternal life. Let's look over at John chapter 3 to reinforce that idea. John chapter 3, probably the most quoted, memorized scripture in the entire Bible. Verse 16. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. The very gift of God, the ultimate gift, is salvation. It's eternal life. It's an opportunity to be free. And so what things come from this freedom? Many of us can attest that freedom is found through our redemption with God. That freedom is found in our forgiveness of sins. It's found in the sanctification that comes from being washed in Jesus' blood. It's that justification that comes knowing that it's not anything we did that allows us to be right with God. That's the gift. And it just so happens that we had to figure it out by seeing Jesus' birth, life, death, and resurrection. And so then if we see the gift and recognize that God has given us something amazing, how should we respond? See, it's easy to get a gift and just set it to the side. If it's not something we really wanted, if it's not something we were looking for, it's easy for us to just, I appreciate it. But like, I remember a few years ago, maybe I'm a cruel father, but I gave my son this big box, right? And I had bought him a PlayStation 4, but I didn't give him that first. I gave him the big box. And in the box was this pillow. And he was 8, so he opened the box and he pulls a pillow out. He's like, ah, thank you. Daddy, it's a pillow. So then under the pillow was this PlayStation 4 game, but it was an old baseball game. My son loves soccer, basketball, football, and baseball is like all the way down on the list. So he was like, oh, Daddy, thank you. It's an old baseball game. I'll try to play it every day. And I knew he was lying, but I was like, man, I got to give it to him. He was trying to be grateful. I appreciate it. But inside the baseball game package was a code for the newest NBA 2K game. And I had written the code and put it on a post-it inside the case. And so then he was like, what is this for? And he didn't have a PlayStation 4, so then he started thinking like, ooh, something else is coming. So then I gave him another gift, and it was a PlayStation 4 controller. And he was like, ooh, now I can go over to my friend's house and play PlayStation. But then brought out the PlayStation 4, and he lost his mind. Oh, my gosh, Daddy, thank you, thank you, thank you. But the thing is the response to the gift initially was very lackluster. It was just like, I'll try to be grateful, but I don't know what I'm going to do with this. I don't know how I'm going to use this in my life. I really don't like baseball, and I don't know what I'm supposed to do with this pillow, but all right. But we might laugh, but sometimes we treat our relationship with God like that. Sometimes we don't necessarily see the gift of eternal life as something that's useful now and forever. Sometimes we can tend to go back and say, it's not quite what I was asking for. I just wanted God to make sure I was healthy. I wanted God to make sure I got that relationship I wanted. I wanted God to do what I wanted him to do. And, this just looks like a pillow. See, the response to the gift is something that we really have to think about in our daily relationship with God. No matter where we are on the spectrum, whether we're seeking God or we've been walking with God for a long time, it's easy for us to lose that excitement and that zeal. See, back in Luke 2, these shepherds, they dropped what they were doing, and they hurried to see about this good news that the angel had told them about. You see, the presence of the Savior was newsworthy to them. It was something that was worth moving with an urgency towards. You see, their anticipation of the gift to come, of the fulfillment of prophecy, was this thing that gave them all the excitement they needed to push to where they needed to be. Now, it's easy to read this and sit in our nice cushioned seats and be like, man, I might have moved too if I saw some angels singing a song. Like, that's the best birth announcements ever. Glory to God in the highest. Like, I would have got excited too. I'm like, man, let me go where these angels singing about. But, they didn't have what we have. Like, they only had the hope of the fulfillment of prophecy. And it just so happened that everything that happened up to that point was aligning with the prophecies that they knew about. Like, they didn't have the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. So what's our excuse? If you're here today and you're really fighting with what does it mean to make Jesus Lord, if you're really fighting to wonder, like, how do I respond to this ultimate gift of salvation, of immortality, of eternal life, then take a cue from these men who didn't have half of what we have. Like, we see history. We see that Jesus sacrificed everything. They didn't have that. They just had the simple idea that if we go do this and see how it turns out, maybe we'll be on the right side of redemptive history. So how much more should we respond? We have an opportunity to hear from God each and every day, and we toss it to the side. We can read our Bibles. We could pray. We could have friendships and relationships with people that call us higher, but we choose not to. We can do everything God calls us to do, but it's easier to just toss it to the side. It's a pillow. I'll try to use it every day. See, we don't take advantage of those opportunities that we have. And at some point, it's going to be too late. At some point, our response to the gift isn't going to matter because time will run out. And so ask yourself this question: does my life mirror or even exceed the response of these shepherds? Or do I do far less? Do I jump with urgency and excitement and zeal, or do I just sit back and take it? Because if we look back in Luke chapter 2, verse 17, it says, when they had seen them, they spread the word concerning what had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. That was about a baby. Not about the Jesus that did everything he's done for us in this day and time. And so I want you to leave not just thinking about what kind of gifts you may receive today or tomorrow, not just thinking about sweet baby Jesus that was all cute and cuddly in a manger, But think about what it is that he really sacrificed to not only come and humble himself to the point of being confined to human likeness, but live a life knowing that he was going to be led like a sheep to slaughter. If you're visiting and you're wondering about your relationship with God, my question to you is, what is going to be that thing that pushes you over to say, I'm all in, I'm committed to unwrapping this beautiful and ultimate gift? But then if you're a disciple of Jesus, I want you to take the time to really evaluate and ask yourself this: how am I really responding? Every day when I get up, every day when I live my life, am I excited to share the things that I've seen and heard? Am I excited to give everything I have for the work of God? Am I excited about responding to the very gift he's given us that gives over and over and over again? Because although our first picture of Jesus is a baby in a manger, it can't be our last. Baby Jesus is a great subject for a great Christmas play, you know, a great scene to put in our front yard. But ultimately, he grew, he lived, he served, he sacrificed. He died, he resurrected, and now he sits at the right hand of God so that we can have the ultimate gift. As we take communion today, let's take the time to really reflect. Communion is a time where we are able to drink his blood, eat his body, out of remembrance of what he did for us. Understanding that the very life he lived was sacrificial to the point of death. So as you take it, don't take it lightly that we have an opportunity to remember this, because these shepherds, they didn't have an opportunity as we have it. They just had the hope of a prophecy fulfilled. But we have an opportunity to have the gift of eternal life. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, God, thank you. Thank you for loving us so much that you don't allow us to be stagnant. Thank you for loving us so much that you give us an opportunity day after day to see you at work in our lives. God, I pray that as we take communion today, as we drink what represents your blood and eat what represents your body, that we don't take it in vain. God, I pray that we don't take it just because it's another thing to do. But God, instead, I pray that we take it knowing that you decided to dwell among us, to become less than what most of us have experienced, so that we can have an opportunity to be reconciled with you. God, we love you, and we just pray that you continue to work in each and every one of our hearts to finish the race you set before us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.